This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome in to Sports Daily on this Friday. Tommy Gester, Jacob Albrock here with you as we get going for today's edition of the program. A lot to get to. Big night in hockey last night. We were all Team USA fans in the Four Nations final with the USA and Canada. Got that going on that we will get into and talk about a little later on in the program today. Wichita State streaking. They continue on the road at Florida Atlantic. They get it done, and they continue that win streak. We'll also talk to Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider, live from spring training out in Arizona, as we actually get some baseball going this weekend. It's a big Friday edition of the show. Good morning, Jacob. How are you?
I'm good, Tommy. I'm doing well.
Good.
All right, do you have
me now?
We got you.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. So for those on the video stream, we're ready to rock and roll. Tommy, how can we let the hosers do that to us?
Man, I tell you what.
I love it. I love all of it. It was so good. You know, I don't love the outcome. I'll tell you that much right now. You know, it's like 2010 when Sidney Crosby did this same thing to us. The big Canadian star, Connor McDavid. Blah. That was fun. That was really cool. And I love that the countries got behind it. I love good international competition. Doesn't mean we don't love our Canadian neighbors. Doesn't mean they don't love their American neighbors to the south. But we can make fun of each other and you know, have a little rivalry. And they fought for 2.5 minutes the other night. And like, everybody was into that game last night. Hockey wins big time for the last week. Never would have seen that coming. But a lot of fun either way. But Canada gets it done, 3-2. Shockers get it done last night. Keep streaking. Here we go. They're on to something now. We'll get into the Shockers for sure today. I will preview the weekend ahead for KUK State as well, no doubt about it. And we'll have Jalen Thompson in from Arizona, spring training. Looking forward to that. We will give you a couple opportunities to win some prizes today. I will give away some HTO as well, so stay tuned for your opportunity there. Thanks for tuning in on KFH, 1240 AM and 97.5 FM. Thanks for waking up with us. Thanks for watching us on our video streams, 12 News Connected app on YouTube, on X, and thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app. You can get in touch with us through any of that. Well, Max is taking your calls. We've got it for you. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Feeling kind of festive today. I was up late, but the weather's turning, Tommy. That gives me a little pep in the step, I think, to know, man, it's going to be 22 degrees and sunny today.
Yeah. Hey, downright
awesome.
Downright balmy right now. You know, 3 degrees outside. Feels like a nice tropical vacation compared to what we've had the last couple of days.
And then it'll get actually nice up into the 50s and the 60s. So we're almost through the deep freeze. Hopefully, even if we get more snow, Hopefully we don't get this cold weather. I was, you know, Facebook feeds you the memories from the years back. There have been a lot of days like yesterday. There were, I think, a couple of snow days on that date, you know, since I've lived here for about a decade. But nobody wants this.
I had one of my memories pop up on Facebook from, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. You know, in the middle of us being in the deep freeze a year ago, it was beautiful outside because I had pictures of me taking my son to go golfing. And, you know, things hadn't bloomed and greened up yet. It was still brown for the winter, but it must have been a nice day because we were not overly layered. We went out to the golf course. We, you know, hit some golf balls. And I'm looking at that as, you know, the wind chill is minus 25 outside. So it's, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen in the middle to late days of February? It could be warm. It could be nice. Or it could be like what we've seen the last couple of days.
Yeah, I'm looking back like 2017 when we were here, like kids are in a t-shirt on a, you know, yeah. It's just, and I know there were two snowstorms on that day, plus what we had last year. Welcome in to Canada. I mean, to Kansas, I should say. Canada certainly felt like Canada. Man, that was, God. So I was at a concert last night and it was pretty cool to see how many people, as the concert is happening and the main act, were watching the hockey, like on their phones, if you could get it, because there were so many people are like trying to pay attention to what was happening on the hockey. I love when stuff overtakes us like that, like collectively, where we can all sort of enjoy it together. It's kind of hard to do now, as everybody has a thousand different things going on and different ways to watch anything. But it happens sometimes in these international things. This is what I think we all wish could happen for American soccer, right? Like everybody to get united behind a really good American team in some sort of championship format. They just can't quite reach. Why we get into the Ryder Cup, right? Even if you don't really know what's happening, you just get into it. And for hockey, it's the same. I don't know a lot of people that are, you know, night in, night out hockey watchers like they maybe used to be. Man, everybody was in on that last night. And that was really cool, even though the outcome was disappointing.
The timing of it was perfect. I mean, you know, as far as when they scheduled this, because you like what kind of competition is out there? The NBA coming off of an All-Star break, which I don't want to say nobody's paying attention, but like that hasn't captured a bunch of attention lately as far as on the court to be able to like follow and pay attention to. It's always off the court drama with the NBA and different things like that. College basketball. I mean, really, there wasn't a whole lot of college basketball last night for the finals. We haven't even really started Major League Baseball spring training games yet. The competition, for competition wise, like there really wasn't a whole lot going on. So it made it a whole lot easier for people to be able to lock in.
And I think it does remind us like how much we enjoy international competition too. Like, you know, the World Baseball Classic, I've always been into it. Like there are ways where you can really lift that stuff up if you'll just give it a chance. Now, the reality is, would it have been this without the fights from a few nights ago? No. The answer to that is no.
Well, I don't know if it would have been like this had there not been the discourse going on in our political system now between the U.S. and Canada. Like that's a big part of it. Like it hasn't been great, you know, between our closest allies and everything. It's been weird. It's been different.
It's been weird. Yeah. But in 2010, like I remember going to the bar to watch that, what was it, the Olympics I think it was the Olympics. Shay, can you see, or whatever it was, you know, those calls. I remember that well, and we were way into it then. I think, yes, but it's all of it, right? They booed us during the anthem. We can't have that. Our guys defended, you know, American pride. They fight a little bit. Canadians are certainly feeling slighted politically right now. They're prime ministers chiming in.
Yeah, when our leader is talking all the time about making Canada the 51st state, whether or not that's tongue in cheek or like serious, I don't really know. I don't get into that really, but like that definitely is going to fuel that fire.
It certainly made it more entertaining for us last night, and you know, to tip of the cap to our Canadian friends, they got us. Like they get the last laugh, and that's you know that we all win. Like I do think we are absolutely all winners in the fact that we got to have a little, you know, pride in our countries for that on both sides and enjoy it. And So good job, hockey. You got us all up for that one. But we'll come back. We'll talk Shockers. Good job, Shockers. Man, they're on a heater right now. We'll talk about it next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on a Friday. We're talking college hoops, and you can listen to KFH Radio for your chance at the ultimate trip to Vegas in March. Winning's easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, listen to KFH Radio. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. Includes travel and accommodations for four to Las Vegas, plus $20,000 spending cash. Get all the info with this national contest right there at KFHradio.com. Stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. Welcome back in. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you on a Friday. Let's talk college basketball. Let's talk Shockers.
Okay.
Oh, what do you need this cold weather for?
Has nothing to do with weather. It's because of the Seinfelds.
Yeah, what do you mean?
They don't want us there, so we're going. We're moving right into Del Boca Vista.
Del Boca Vista, Boca Raton. Max, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. We went down to Del Boca Vista, and we took care of business against FAU, just like we all thought they would. They're streaking, Tommy. This five-game now win streak is awesome to see. It's like K-State. Like, you know, it's not like K-State, because Wichita State was out to a screaming hot start the year, and then just had the bad start to AAC play, and we're watching it, and we can all tell, and we, at least I want to think, like, man, Wichita State needs to get this together. They're better than all these teams. And then it goes on a little longer, and you're like, well, aren't they? Like, aren't they better? Like, aren't they better than these teams? And I think now we're back to where we were, which is a great thing. It's a great feeling. And I'm happy for the program that it is doing this now. And I don't think, you know, Memphis excluded, and maybe North Texas excluded, although they'll get another shot at them. The Shockers should be going into any game in this league this year where they don't feel like they should win that game. And they were underdogs last night. They were, I think, 7-point underdogs, but they came out and they did exactly what they needed to do. They played a good offensive game against a team that is like top 30 offense in the country, which is Florida Atlantic, but really, really, really bad defensively. And the Shockers, when I think they're playing to their strength, is when they kind of can muck it up a little bit. And that should lend itself in a game like that where, yeah, you take a great offensive team off their game. And especially if they're bad defense and they're going to make offense a little easier on the Shockers, that's right in the Shockers' wheelhouse, I think. And so they get that done last night. They, for once, shoot it well from the three, which is always an added bonus with this group of guys. And so it was great. It was exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a team in Florida Atlantic that, you know, they're averaging nearly 80 points a game this season, and you hold them to 68. You're going to feel really good about that at the end of the day, especially on their home court for sure. Individually, it was great to see Bijan Cortez back up his performance at home against Memphis with another great performance on the road at FAU. He's clearly trending up, and it's something that I know the fan base has been just like waiting for so long to see consistency from Bijan Cortez. He shot the ball well, had a career high in points. He looked really good.
He did turn it over five times, which is...
In 35 minutes, five times in 30.
I know.
That's too many. Yeah. But he was on the court a lot. And so comparatively to other games in the past, like let's be real and give the guy some credit. It was a really, really good performance from him for sure. He had, you know, several assists that he tacked on as well. It was another really good performance from Bijan Cortez. He's never going to probably get himself totally out of the doghouse with the fan base. Like, people like to pile on him a little bit, but back-to-back really solid performances from him. And I mean, let's be honest, without those performances on Sunday against Memphis and yesterday against FAU from Bijan Cortez, the Shockers don't win either one of those games.
There's no question. And it's, you know, it's kind of a, you know, he's heating up a little bit. You know, the two games prior, even to that, if you just look at the win streak, they're almost all, even when he was scoring, you know, 6 and 7 points a game, they're almost all his top performer. He didn't play much against UTSA, but he's been a big reason for the recent success for sure. And I love it because that's what, you know, he was as highly of all the players that came over with Mills that first year, he was as highly touted as any.
He was
came over home and do it all. So it is great. It's great to see him catch his stride. And Coach Mills, I think it was after the Memphis game, just sort of talked about him and what it's been like for him to sort of come to the, basically the psychology of what's been happening and really embracing everything. So you love seeing that. It's sort of like Doug McDaniel at K-State, right? Like when it finally clicks and everything's going right, that's a big deal for the Shockers. Clearly they're on a 5-game win streak. Xavier Bell, not in foul trouble and continues to lead this team offensively. And Tommy, it is pretty remarkable that everybody on the planet knows what his offense is going to be. And at the moment, nobody can stop it. He's going to go left, and he's going to go to the rim. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. And they can't stop it. His ascension has been incredible, really, all season long, not just with the win streak. But, man, what? Imagine a world, and they're not going to shoot 60% from three every night. They didn't even take many of them. But imagine a world where this could become a team that at least is capable of shooting the three. At least, you know, 35-40% on 10-15-3. Like, it's going to make a big difference for them. So it's good to see them make some shots too. All feels good when you're on a 5-game win streak. But it feels even better when two of those wins are against Florida Atlantic and Memphis, teams that they chase in the league. Their next three games will also be against teams they're chasing in the standings. I don't know what the end game is here because they're still two games in the loss column behind Florida Atlantic, even with that win, and three behind Tulane. Can they make up ground and get into that top five? It'll be tough, but they can certainly establish themselves as a top half team. So, you know, if my expectation for them, I think, was top four, I don't think they're going to be able to get there. But if we're looking at it from like let me ask you this way. This feels like a top four team in this league, right? I don't know where the standings will end up because they may not be able to overcome that really, really, really slow start. But the reality of it is, this feels like a top four team in this league.
I think so. I mean, of course, all you have to do is go and look at the net. And, you know, in the net rankings, even though Wichita State in the standings, you know, are not where they want to be. They're a half game out of sixth place. They're fourth in the American in the net right now. And that's even before last night's game. They'll still be fourth because third is Florida Atlantic, and they're not going to leapfrog Florida Atlantic after just that one game. But they're fourth in the net in the conference. You know, so if you go by that, then yeah, they should be a top four team in the conference for
sure.
They're
right there with UAB. I think they're a couple, but either way, it's essentially
They're above UAB in, you know, in the net as of right now. So I mean, I think that they've got that opportunity, or I guess they're right underneath, right below UAB in the net. So anyway, like they've got an opportunity to be a top four team in the conference for sure. And again, it's remarkable that you start the conference season 1-7. And all of a sudden, now you're 6-7, and you're right back in it. And a couple of those games are against teams that are above you in conference play. You're chasing them. You've got a couple more coming up in Tulane and North Texas that are above you in the standings as well. And, you know, so I don't know. I was trying to think about, like, okay, the final five games of conference play this season for them in the regular season. You know, what's realistic? They're on a 6-game winning streak or 5-game winning streak right now. Is 5-0? I mean, I don't know if 5-0 is realistic. I think they can do it.
I think it's realistic. I don't know if it's a fair expectation, but I think it's absolutely realistic.
I mean, I was gonna say 4-1, at the very bare minimum, a 3-2 ending. You know, in the final five games in the conference season. I mean, I think that any one of those, all of a sudden, then you're finishing the regular season at or above 500 in conference play. When you start your conference play 1-7, that's a massive, massive hole to dig yourself out of, and they've been able to do that.
I agree with that. I'm not going to accept 3-2, though, because
I think that's the floor.
Two of those games, though, are Rice and Tulsa, and I'm not going to accept losing 2 out of 3 to Tulane, UAB, and North Texas when two of those are home games. That I think my whole thing right now, and this is a positive, by the way, I think this is a great thing. What I'm going to say here, I think it is a great thing that, at least for me, like I absolutely, they better win 2 out of the next 3 against those teams because I think they're a better team. You know, I think you can say Memphis and North Texas, and then I don't think you can say with definition that Wichita State's not better than anybody else. Now, they have not played that way for a long enough time in the season where the standings may not indicate that. But that's what I mean. Like, I think what this has done is remind us of what we thought of this team before and honestly what we saw this team be before that bad start to conference play. So, yeah, look, for me, it needs to be 4-1. And I mean, they've won their last 5, and 2 of those are against really good teams. So I certainly think 5 games are on the table. Now, is it going to be disappointing if it's 4-1? No, I don't think so. But I think that has to be the expectation because I think Wichita State's good enough to be 5-0 in that stretch. And sometimes when you have bad stretches, you got to balance it out with good stretches. They're certainly on one now. They get 2 more national games in that stretch, which is a great thing. You know, they get to play again on Sunday. That one won't be in a national window, but then they get 2 national games. The UAB and the North Texas game are kind of in front of everybody. That game on March 3rd at North Texas, that could be a really big game. North Texas, you know, is trying to be a bubble team right now, trying to pad their resume, and the Shockers are trying to prove to the world that they're really good. And now we know go into the conference tournament with all the confidence in the world. And if you can do that, you can go into that tournament and say, we've basically beaten everybody in this league. And that's a good thing. But I think all in all, it's a great thing for the program because we don't know. We talked about this a little bit in the office yesterday, in the TV office. Like after this year, there are a lot of question marks. There's not much coming back. It's kind of like Corey Washington and what will be back next year. They need Paul Mills. The program needs this to end well because we don't know what next year is going to bring. All that experience and all the stuff we've been talking about this year, that's not going to be here. So everything needs to build now to further the work that must be done this offseason that will be daunting.
Yeah, I said it after the Memphis game. I think I mentioned this on Monday, that was the kind of win at home that you can build a program off of, the foundational type pieces where you can then point back to that and say, that's where things started to turn around for us. And I know they had won a handful of games prior to the Memphis game. They had the momentum going into it. But against that opponent at home, in a national window, that's the kind of thing that you start to build off of. And they've been able to do that. I was really concerned going into the game last night. Don't get me wrong, the Shockers have been playing great as of late, but I was concerned that they were going to basically like have this huge win, and then it was kind of like exhaling and coming back down to earth on the road at Florida Atlantic. That didn't happen.
It's a tough spot.
That didn't happen.
On the road,
like that's impressive. That's impressive that they were able to get it done in that regard. And now again, you can continue that. You can continue, you know, to move forward on that, which is great. I don't pretend to be. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm an expert when it comes to like NIT projections, right? Oh. Like I don't know how that. I don't know about that. I haven't even really looked at that. But I would think, and maybe I'm way off base here, but I would think if you can end the regular season 4-1, 5-0, somewhere around there, and then you go and you get a couple of games in the conference tournament, you probably, I would think, have played yourself into at least some kind of postseason conversation.
So I would, I don't either, but I would tell you this, they're invitational tournaments, and historically, the NIT has liked Wichita because people will show up to the games. People will embrace it and get behind it. They've got a long history of that. You had the year before the greatness of the last era really started was based on an NIT.
Yeah.
You had Marcus McDuffie's senior year when they went to New York to play in that final. Everybody got behind that. Everyone was just sort of playing for McDuffie, right? Because he was such a great player. And
you go all the way back to, I think it was 2011 that. When the Shockers won the whole thing. Like they won
right,
the
that's
NIT.
What I mean. Yeah. So if those are your last two memories of it, if you're the NIT, and it's an invitational tournament.
Right.
So there's not like some hard and fast rule. Well, yeah, they want to sell tickets too.
Yeah.
We all know about TBT and all those things. And that would be great, honestly. It would be fine.
I know it feels like a consolation prize a little bit, you know, based on the expectations at the beginning of the season. But again, to be able to pull yourself out of where you had been in the depths of all of it, that's remarkable.
We have to break this season up into chunks. There was a moment where we thought the Shockers might be able to be a bubble team. And then there was a moment we thought this thing was imploding and some very uncomfortable conversations might have to happen. And now there's this moment again of, man, can this team do something in the postseason? What can they do in the conference tournament? What could they do? You know, if they made it to an NIT, all of that stuff is back in. And it's like therapeutic, I think, for Shocker. It's been an emotional year. It's been an emotional year for fans, for followers. It's been an emotional year for players. Certainly has been for coaches and administrators. It's high level, intense, like there's a lot of pressure here. And so I'm so happy for everybody that there is a reprieve from that again, where now it's like back to just how good can this team be? Because we know it can be very good. We've seen it now in two different chunks of the season. And in one chunk, it was not very good. So how do they finish now? They go and they wrap up. No, they're back home. Sorry.
They're back
home against Tulane. They get back-to-back home games against Tulane UAB before they have to go on the road to North Texas on what'll be...
That North Texas game. That's a quad one game. I mean, North Texas is,
no
they
doubt
are in the net, like that's a quad one game. That's an extremely important game for Wichita State.
But you get an opportunity now for two games at home against two teams ahead of you in the standings. Against one team that's ahead of you in the net rankings to go get a couple. And I don't think they'll be able to pass either one of them in the standings, but it's still going to establish where the perception of Wichita State is going into a conference tournament. As I can tell you right now, nobody wants to draw Wichita State in a conference tournament, not when they play like this. They're showing you that they're capable of beating anybody. And isn't that all we can ask for when we consider all things? Like, this is all we could have asked for once the bottom fell out for a few weeks there as conference play began. The feel, and this, and it's what's really interesting is the one team that will make the NCAA tournament is the one team that doesn't have this feeling right now. But if you're a K-State or a Wichita State fan, you at least have the notion and the sensation that, man, my team can beat anybody, that they'll play in a conference tournament. Can they string it together? Can they do it? Well, at least there's a chance, right? The old Dumb and Dumber line. So you're saying there's a chance. The feeling for KU right now, Tommy, and we can get into them. We had a nice email on them from a great listener that I'll get into. But it's the opposite for them. it doesn't feel like they have a chance. And they're the only ones that we know are going to be in the NCAA tournament, right? The other two are long shots to even make it. It's a really weird dynamic for college basketball right now. But I'm really happy. I mean, I'm so dang happy for the Shockers right now. I'm so dang happy for the fans and the program and everybody involved in it. Tommy, they're all large this time of year, right? Like every game that gets played is large this time of year. Man, it's funny to me how different everything has gone. We talked about this in the last segment. You've got Wichita State and K-State who sort of like found this new life and energy. And I know K-State's lost a couple in a row, so don't misunderstand. But it feels very different in a positive way for that basketball program overall than it did a month and a half ago. Same for Wichita State, as we just talked about in the last segment. For KU, it's the exact opposite. And KU's the team that's going to make the NCAA tournament, right? And all of these things are there, but it feels like the sky is falling right now for the Jayhawks. Had a nice email from a great listener, Mike, who emails us from time to time. Just one of the many ways you can get in touch with the program. Sort of evaluating Bill Self, and he take, you know, we've called it, and I have anyway, the last couple of seasons sort of being this stretch. He takes it back to the heart incident, the health incident for Bill Self when he had to miss the tournament and do all those things as maybe a moment to, you know, to say, is this what I want to do anymore? I would say this. I'll never pretend to get inside somebody's head like that. I don't know that anybody has ever loved this more in general than Bill Self loves this. And again, he's never been one to shy away from or be resistant to the changes that have come to the sport. And I don't think he is resistant to that. I don't think that's all just talk. Like, I don't think he cares that that's the way it is now. And I think he embraces it as much as anybody has. And that's the thing for me with KU is we keep wanting to look really big picture and do all these things. But to me, it honestly is the same group of players is not working now 2 years in a row. So I'm not ready for any of that other stuff yet until we see a different group of players get in and what that means or looks like. This group has not reached its expectation 2 years in a row. And that's what it is. It is what it is, right? How good can they be this year? I do think there's plenty of time left on the table to determine that. But the reality is the disappointment that we've seen, because no matter what happens for KU the rest of the way in the regular season, they will not have met preseason expectations as the preseason number one team in the country. It's just not going to be there. I am still looking very much at the roster more than I am the legend there. Until we hear something otherwise, I think we're overthinking it a little bit. This group is not working and has not worked for 2 years. Same group of players, same core group of players.
But again, I think it's not just on the players. It's the way that those players are being deployed out there. Let me
clarify real quick. I'm not saying Bill Self and the coaches aren't without blame. Of course they are. They share as much of the responsibility as anybody. I'm talking about when we have conversations about bigger picture things for Bill Self specifically.
Sure. And I wholeheartedly believe that while these players have not executed, it's for sure on their shoulders, because you've got the same three guys the last two seasons that they're not delivering at the level that expectations are. I don't think maybe any of these guys on the roster are being put in the most optimal position to succeed either. I think it goes both ways. I think there's a little bit of a tug of war here between like who to blame more, but everybody is to blame. I was talking with our buddy TJ Cleland the other day, and I told him that one of the takes that I hate the most during all of this is when 100% of the blame is put in one place. Like, oh, it's all Bill Self's fault, or it's all Hunter Dickinson's fault, or it's everybody's fault. Like, and it's probably equally distributed out. You don't get these compounded big-time issues without it being multiple people's fault. Like, the blame should be spread out amongst everybody. The head coach hasn't had a good season. I think I think Bill Self himself would probably say he hasn't had a very good season in coaching. I don't think the overall coaching staff has done particularly well. I don't think the returners have done well. I don't think the newcomer, like nobody has done well. It's been just a snowball effect where it's gotten worse instead of better as the season has gone on. I don't pretend to know what's in Bill Self's head, and I'm not yet at the point to where I feel like I'm going to predict one way or another what he's going to do after this season. But I would not be overly shocked. I would be surprised, but I'm not sure I would be overly shocked if after this season he says, you know what, I've probably done everything I can do, and the last couple of years have been rough on me. I had the health issues, and then the last two seasons have been really hard from an on-court perspective in practice. Like, we know the discontent, you know, among the players. Like, you can definitely tell that. It wouldn't overly shock me if he was like, you know what, I think I'm going to step away. Again, not predicting that he will or won't. I don't know. I don't know what's in his head, but I wouldn't be overly shocked if that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't ever be because of his age and how long he's been doing it. I mean, I think he could make that decision at any point. And yeah, I wouldn't shock me either. Here's what I'll say. I don't think the way this season is playing out would be the reason why, I guess, is my thing.
I think it could be part of the reason why. I think it could be, you know, maybe the thing that pushes him over the edge where they're his age, his health, you know, different things like that.
One of the crazy things about Bill Self, because he's been doing it so long, Tommy, is he's only 62 years old. Right? Like, he's not.
But this is the same guy that I remember, I don't know exactly when it was, 10, 15 years ago, where he gave an interview saying that he didn't see himself coaching into his 60s. Like, I remember him, like, that was a big deal at the time when he said that.
Like, I remember Greg, I remember Greg Marshall saying
Bill
that.
Self
I don't
said
remember
that. Yeah, Bill Self said
Self.
That he couldn't see himself coaching, you know, into his mid to late 60s.
So I'm looking here at these other, you know, Jay Wright is the same age as Bill Self. But when you look at the other ones who people feel like have just like had enough, Jim Boeheim was 80. Mike Krzyzewski's 78 years old. Mike Krzyzewski's 16 years older than Bill Self.
Yeah, so this was back in 2017. He gave an interview, Bill Self did, where he said that he wasn't sure at the time. He was 54 when he gave this interview in 2017. He said he wasn't sure that he would coach past the age of 60. And he said that he didn't want to match his peers who continued to coach, like Jim Boeheim, Roy Williams, and Coach K. He said he wasn't interested in duplicating their longevity. That was back in 2017. So, you know, we're 8 years, you know, now past that.
But can we just get it to retirement age, Bill? Like the rest of us, you know, you got to get to 65, right? And the other thing is, like, you could never see it ending with a season. And this is what's so funny to me that we're even doing this, because I do it too. Every other team goes through this kind of thing frequently, even among the greatest programs and coaches. The fact that Kansas does not and has not is one of the wildest achievements in sports. We will look back at this run at some point, and it'll take some time, because probably when Bill Self does eventually decide he doesn't want to do it, Kansas is not going to have the level of success they've had under Bill Self. Not right away. I think that's an impossible ask of whoever it is. The consistency.
Yeah, I'm not sure there'll be that level of consistency, because that's unparalleled and unmatched.
And I don't know. In the middle of these things, it's always hard to appreciate them appropriately. But as somebody who came into that from the outside, and for other people I talk to, like around the country, about it is remarkable how consistent and how often this team is right in the most relevant part of any college basketball conversation. It just doesn't happen anywhere else. And it is crazy. And we're having this conversation when Kansas is very clearly a tournament team, when they're going to be in the postseason. Like, it's wild to me. It's wild. And it's a credit to everything. Can they bounce it back this year? Which is a conversation we've had a lot this week. When we go into the next hour, we'll talk specifically about the games for both KU and K-State. Because right after the loss to BYU, the thought, and I was right there with everybody, it's like, no, like, they're toast. But now, as there's been more time on it, I'm like, well, of course they can. Like, of course they can. No,
I think they're toast. Like, I haven't gotten
will
back
they,
to...
I think will they is probably a better conversation than can they.
They're cooked. Literally nothing has changed since they lost to BYU. They're cooked. They're done. They're done.
Well, there's been a lot of time since BYU. They're That's done. What's changed. And they're coming back home again. So, and you like to do that more than I do.
They're
and
done.
I get that. I know you, I get it. Like the proclamations, you're quicker to those than I am. But there's still five games to play in a postseason for a team that has been at times as good as any team in the country this year. So we'll talk about it. We'll talk about their game specifically. It's not that exciting of a game against Oklahoma State, but they got to win one, right? It's been a minute. In K-State, kind of in a similar situation. We'll hit those in the next hour. We've got Jalen Thompson in Arizona in the next hour as well. It's all coming for you on Sports Daily.